I think I need to hire him to just go introduce me somewhere. I wish my wife would have been here. I'm sure she'd have felt good about that. But good evening, everybody. Y'all look good in anything you eat. Anybody here from Texas? Just you and me, buddy. Oh, there's another one. Oh, we've got a quartet. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. That's West Texas, isn't it? Somewhere. Let me just take a moment, a personal moment, to express my gratitude to this great church and to, of course, Brother Hugh, and the invitation to come back again. He mentioned about meeting in Las Vegas, and we met at a prayer breakfast there that they have before that big whatever they do there in Las Vegas. by the way, I learned something about going. A man that had spent a lot of his life before he met the Lord gambling in Vegas, he said, I want to go with you and show you that town. And so we got on the airplane, and he said, I want you to notice how excited this airplane is. We were on Southwest Airlines, and everybody was hooping, hollering, carrying on, because they were all going to be the big winners. He said, now, when we leave to come home, I want you to notice how quiet this plane is. And then we started down the street from the airport to the downtown Las Vegas. And he says, are you impressed? I said, yes, I am. He said, aren't those lights awesome? I said, yeah. He said, you never seen anything like that, have you? And I said, no, I haven't. He said, well, let me tell you, the electricity and all of those lights were put up and operate by the money that was lost here. Well, I was beginning to get the feeling, you know. And sure enough, it worked out that way. We had a quiet ride back home. Nobody was very happy. And I just thanked the Lord that I got to go and speak. I tell my preacher friends, I'm one of the few preachers that ever got to preach in the Mirage Hotel in Las Vegas. I promise you, that is a very short list. I don't know about the Methodists and Episcopalians or the Baptists or the Church of Christ. I don't think it matters. I just don't think they've had much preaching there. But in that morning event, there were some things that happened that were really awesome. And I'll not go into all of that, but just to say to you that Joe Bowman, who I met, he's world champion, quick draw, and you know, shoot everything out of the air and so forth. And he came to know Jesus that morning at our prayer breakfast. I buried him, baptized him. I buried him when he died. And his son was there, and he wanted me to do what I'm going to do at the end of this time I have with you today, when I talk about getting the cross in the right place. And he said, I want you, when you preach my funeral, to be sure and close the way you did it when I heard it in Las Vegas. And that was the promise. Well, when I got up to speak, his son, Joe Bowman's son, was sitting over to my right on the second row. Sitting beside him was Dan Pastorini, a former quarterback of the Houston Oilers. He was a rouster, as my grandmother would say. And he was sitting there because of the relation with the son. So when I got through and we said amen and fixing to end and go to the cemetery, as soon as I said amen, Dan Pastorini stepped out in the aisle. He came up here, came right up to me. He said, preacher, I just want you to know I put the cross in the right place this morning. And I thought, wow, that changed all of Houston, you know, because God loves all of us. And all of us have a purpose. And God can use anybody. But we have to be committed unto him. And I just want to talk to you tonight, before I get into anything very heavy, I wanted to ask you guys that know the Bible, do you know that the Apostle Paul was a golfer? All my Sunday school teachers. You know, do you remember this when he said, I fought a good fight? Remember that? What did he say next? I finished the course. And what? And I kept the faith. Well, I think about, and he says, I beat you therefore, brethren. read it in your Bible. It's really beseech, but it sounds like, I beat you therefore, brethren. So I'm just assuming that he's up there playing golf. Now, if you like golf, I'm sure you hope there's a case up there. But now for us hunters, the lion's going to lay down by the lamb. Think about that. Everything that we see is going to be put there by God, for God, and for His glory. And I would, if I knew it wouldn't attack me, I'd love to just lay down on a lion sometimes. Right now, I don't have any desire to do that anymore. But another thing, I hope that you will give me some time to prove to you later that there's going to be bird dogs in heaven. This is heavy theology, isn't it, Pastor? Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever had, in your lifetime, somebody come to your door, knock on your door, with a dozen cleaned quail, ready for you to eat? How many of you ever had a hunter ever do that? Would you raise your hand and give your testimony real quick? Well, I don't see any hands up. You know why? Because nobody's going to give you any quail except God. You remember when Moses was in his nest? It didn't say he rained down birds on heaven for his people. It says he rained down quail. Now, stick with me, this theology. So there's got to be bird dogs in heaven. Now, maybe going a little too far there, aren't I? But if there's quail in there, there's got to be bird dogs. And for those of you that might have ever owned a bird dog knows what I mean. We would like to take them to heaven because they are beautifully and wonderfully made. But God has put us here for a purpose. The thing that so many of us do not know is what that purpose is. Our one-liner at our church is we're to be living proof of a loving God to a watching world. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. But God has a plan. And in the brief words I'm going to share with you tonight, I hope that many of you, and especially you young guys, will pick up on some things. I want to address the young folks that are here. How many of you are here and you're under 15 years of age? Would you just hold your hand up real quick? Let's give them a hand, first of all. Look over here. Look up over here. Now, to all of you young people, I want to give you a one-liner. I hope you'll write it down. Don't ever make anything possible in your life unless you're willing for it to happen. Don't make it possible. Let me tell you my testimony. I promise you that I will not die skydiving. Now, you can just bet on that with anybody. Why? Because I'm not jumping out of any airplane while the motors are going. That is absolute stupidity. I've been in two plane crashes, but I never even thought about jumping out of the airplane. But where my church is, they die all the time just jumping out of the plane. They will come back down one way or another. And it's better to be in them than out of them and by the window outside. You want to be, you know, inside, so to speak. But when we come to all that, to that moment, in time when we say, you know, the second thing I was going to say, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm not going to die on a motorcycle. End program. I bury them by the dozens. I mean, in Houston, you can't believe the motorcycle accidents we have in that town. I got on a Honda 90. That's a trail bike. I put 94 miles on it. That's years ago. And I went out one Sunday afternoon for a little joyride over the hills behind the house on Scarsdale Boulevard. It went down. I went down. The motorcycle is in my garage right now, and it still has the same miles that it had on it when I was stupid. Young people, don't make it possible. When you go on a date, girls and guys, make sure that you might marry them if things went good, but if you don't think so, don't even date them. Boy or girl, be still and know that He's God. Have a plan for your life. Be living proof of a loving God to a watching world. I know that as you gather here right now, that you can't help but get to a place like this and see the wonders of God and know that God is an awesome God. And He has a plan for us. And for those of you that are hunters and fishermen, I don't know of any group. I've never met an atheist that was an outdoorsman. Why? The Bible says, I've made myself so evident in what? Creation. That you're without an excuse. Now, I can understand living in downtown New York or Chicago or Detroit that I might have a day when I wondered if there's even a God. But because I've been to Alaska and Australia and New Zealand and Africa, I know there's a God. And if you don't see it in the daytime over there, you'll see the Southern Cross at night, and they'll show you how to read the pointers, and it always points to the north where you can find your way home, even in the middle of the night. And those African people know that. They don't need a flashlight. Ever-ready is not their company, but they know that the heavens declare the glory of God. What a shame it would be for those of us that could raise our hands a while ago and say, I like the outdoors. I like to hunt. I like to fish. And for us to not take advantage of what God says that we can take advantage of it, and that is, He lead us in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. And if we go to the shadow of death, we'll fear no evil, for God is with us. And He is going to take us where He wants us to go. My favorite church song for invitation is Wherever He Leads, I'll Go. I told the Lord when I was early in life, 10 years old, I said, God, I'll do whatever You want me to do. I was at a revival, and the evangelist spoke to my heart as a little boy. And I said, whatever You want me to do, God, that's what I want to do. And He guided every step. I did not know that I would be going to Pasadena High School and half of my senior class became a member of my church after we got out of college. And I thought, what about those years if I would have done like so many of my buddies did? We had several killed on prom nights. We had two cars drive off the Galveston Spillway and kill eight of my classmates. And all about alcohol, all about alcohol. You know, but after all, everybody's, they think is doing it. No, everybody's not doing it. It's not doing it. I learned something the other day. I was telling the guys the other night, last night, that makes me still think. I called the Department of Public Safety in Texas and I asked them, I said, how many beers does it take to be legally drunk? That's my question to the State Department in Texas. How many? The number's three. That sound reasonable? Three. So here's my question now. If I drink one beer, I think I'm a third drunk. Hold on. Think about it. Two-thirds, I'm two-thirds drunk. And one more, I'm over the cliff. And one makes me want two, and two makes me want three, and three makes you, well, bye-bye. Bye-bye. You know, when you get to the point to where you abstain from all evil, when you get to the point to where you say, I'm going to enjoy the outdoors. I tell you, whenever you go out, there's something about the outdoors. We get to heaven, the lion, the lamb are going to lay down together and all that kind of stuff. But you and I have an opportunity right now to be living proof of a loving God to a watching world. I want to thank God for this group of people and what it stands for and the history of this church and this particular ministry. What you were seeing there a while ago, the lights were still on. You couldn't see it too good. But I brought to you some DVDs that have four different DVDs on them that will be available when you go out the door. And we had 15,000 people at one of these. And God just moved in the most incredible way that you would ever believe. And some of the leaders of Houston came because they were outdoorsmen. And it drew them to where they could have their whole life changed for all of eternity. I have two boys. Their names are Hunter and Fisher. I'd have had a daughter, I'd name her Birdie. God didn't give me a daughter. My dad took me out of school. First grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, and sixth grade. Took me out of school for the opening week of deer season in Texas. All of my elementary school life. He'd go down to the teacher and said, My dad was a pastor. He didn't have a lot of time with me. I was the only child, and he was busy all the time. And he said, would you consider giving John his work? Let him take his test for the week. I want him to go with me. If he doesn't pass the test, he'll stay here. But if he does, we'll see that it's done, and he will be back here, you know, next week. And they all agreed to do that. My dad had put me in a deer camp when I was growing up, and I began to continue it to bring some of the leaders of this nation to his deer camp. Howard Butt, H-E-B, Stewart Title Company, people like that, that they were R.G. Letourneau, guys that had mega companies, and he wanted me as his own son to meet these men who were Christian, born again, believing, practicing Christians. And so I want to say to all of you adults that like to hunt and fish, don't forget your kids. Train up a child in the way it should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from. Surround them with godly people. Not people they watch on television, not people that they go to the movies to watch, not those singing on the radio or television, but those that have a walk with God and know the little song, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the what? For the Bible tells me so. What a day that's going to be when we stand before the Lord. We're going to understand that He has a plan. And I'm so thankful that I had a dad that would take his son hunting and fishing. Now, it may not go that far with you. Picnicking pretty good. I like to watch that zoo over in Australia. I'm anxious to go over there. And you know what I'm talking about? For the, you know, the family that went through so much trouble when the dad died and all, but it's on every day. But those people love the Lord. I believe that most that love the outdoors love Jesus. He's the maker. He's the one that has a plan for all of our lives. I wanted to be a game warden. My Uncle Bob was a game warden. I had an uncle that was coach at Ole Miss. I had another uncle that flew Bob Hope all over the world. I didn't want to fly Bob Hope, and I didn't want to be a pilot. I was scared, I guess. But I did want to be a game warden. There was just something about it. Well, the reason I think it was then is probably the flesh. He could fish when he wanted to, where he wanted to, and he didn't have to look for the game warden. But at the same time, he had enough common sense to know how to protect the wildlife, which is what that whole thing is about. But when we come to our time of life and we say, now, Lord, remember that scripture, train up a child in the way it should go, and when it is old, they'll not depart from it. I don't know where some of you are, but I see some young ones, some middle ones, some three quarters, and some of you about there. You're about to quit getting those discounts, you know. But God's got a plan. They've got a plan. For those of you that are senior adult, I told the kids, don't ever let anything, don't ever do anything. Or get in a position where you might make a mistake until you know what you are doing. God would say to me right now and to you, would you, as my eyes go to and fro throughout the whole earth, he says, I want to show myself strong to this world. And guys and gals, we're in trouble. In April, I looked on television with my wife, and they announced that day that there were 225,000 COVID deaths in those 4 months. I asked my wife, I said, would you call that crazy woman on the telephone and ask her, she knows everything, you know. And I said, ask her how many babies were aborted in the same 4 months in the United States. You know what the figure was? 845,000. We're worried about us. Hey, let us go. I'm 81 years old. Okay, forget it. Wonderful. I'd like the Lord can come now, whatever. But isn't it sad that we can kill 845,000 little ones that are fearfully and wonderfully made and wonderful and have a tremendous opportunity to come into America if they're here? That's where we still come in, though, hunters and fishermen. We can still be living proof of a loving God to a watching world. We can help people to understand what it means to be lonely, what it means to be effective, what it means to be productive, what it means to love others as the Lord loves you. I like to take people hunting. I like to take a Christian and tell him all we're going to do and then tell him to call the worst sinner he knows and tell him that he's been invited to come to Texas and hunt on the governor of Texas ranch. And you're going to go, but you're going to bring him and let him shoot your deer. I guarantee you they come. They get to the ranch, and there's no whiskey. We make them sign something. There's no going to be no whiskey, no pornography, no cursing, and all this kind of thing. They sign it. They come in. They get their trophy. Every single one of them, every single one for 25 years have said, I've never enjoyed a hunt like this. I don't have anything that I can hide. I don't have to hide from my wife anything I've done while I'm here. And I've learned that things that I didn't know as to what real success is. And you just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Y'all remember Ebb Greenacres? Well, Ebb's with the Lord now. He used to be my hunting buddy quite a bit on birds. His dog was named Red. He'd come in his Jaguar from Laurel, Mississippi, and we'd go down and shoot quail. Everywhere that guy went, they knew him down in Creasel Springs, Texas. I mean, they just knew Ebb. They knew Green Acres. And they'd all want his autograph. When they'd come over to get his autograph, he'd say, what is your name? Well, I'm Sally Doe. Okay, Sally. And she says, and you say, would you sign this? He first asks her name. And then he says, I'll be glad to sign it in just a minute, but I'm not really the one that you want to know. And he said, have you ever heard of Jesus? And of course, most of them had, but more than half of them didn't follow him. They said, you know Jesus? They said, yes. He said, have you ever invited him to come into your life? No. Would you like for him to come into your life? Yes. Let's pray. Right in the middle of the cafe, right in the post office. He's in heaven now. But isn't it a joy to see out there in that world the heavens declaring the glory of God, the wonderful place called earth, and in there we're bringing up our children in the way they should go and experiencing life's greatest thrills. I would encourage every one of you, if you're not a hunter or fisherman, to try it. Because the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of the people whose heart's perfect towards him. I've come here tonight to really encourage you to do that, to be an example to your child. Brother Jack asked me to tell this story again. I'll be real, real fast with it. But my youngest son was 6 years old. I carried him on his first deer hunt to where he would shoot. We drove out in a Jeep. It started to rain in South Texas by the Nueces River. As we stopped, and he was wanting to go, and my wife and my mother, who was down at the ranch, didn't want me to take him out in the woods. But anyway, I talked him into it. We went out and we parked the Jeep, and I put some corn out down the road for him. And it wasn't 10 minutes after I did that, the whole sky just opened down on me. We were right by the Nueces River, which easily overflowed where I was. He shot a buck. He said, Grandpa, look at that spread. 7 inches. This is a spread, folks, okay, if you don't hunt. For him, it was that big. His Boone and Crockett, you know. Started raining. I knew. I'd hunted there for 15 years. I knew how quick that place can get up, and we'd be 3 foot of water where we are. So I got out of the car, and I said, Dean, it won't start. And I said, I've got to get you to help, but I can't carry you right now, but I will come get you. I said, would you stay here and let me go get the other car and come get you? And I put the deer in the car with me, back in the back of the Jeep. And he said, yes, I will, Dad. I said, now, you promised me you won't get out of this car. Yes, no, I won't get out of the car. Okay. I took off and went back to the house, which was about 15 miles. I had to go through Greasel Springs to the next ranch where I was. And the mama was waiting. Where's Dean? Well, I'm going to get him right now. I couldn't tell him I left him out in the pasture. That wouldn't sound very good to the mother. And I said, I'm going to get him right now. A man named Selby Young was there. He owned the funeral home in Pasadena. He said, use my Jeep. And I said, good, I'll use it. Well, I went out there. I couldn't get there. I got stuck. I got out and I started walking, and the water was below my hips. And as I approached the vehicle, not knowing exactly what I was going to find, I knew if my son had gotten out of that Jeep that he could have drowned. I felt terrible, but I went and opened the door. Went out on the guest side. I opened the door, and I said, Dean, nothing. I'm telling you, y'all, I like to pass out. I said, oh, my gosh, if he's got out of here, you know, no telling what. And so I said, with the preacher's voice, yeah, Dean! And like a monkey, from the back seat, back there in the back, he jumped over the seat and into my lap, and he grabs me like this. Now, he weighed about 45 pounds. He grabbed me and looked me right in the eye, and he said, Dad, I was counting on you. Isn't that something? Can you imagine? Put your child there. Can your child count on you? Can they count on you to sacrifice in order for God to use them? Can you be the example that God wants you to be and be a hunter and a fisherman and enjoy God's beautiful, beautiful world? The heavens declare the glory of God. The earth is His handiwork. The animals will lay down by the Lamb, the lions and the Lamb, and will praise the Lord forever and forever and forever. If it were not for hunters, for those of you that have a little bit of, would not like to be here tonight, you don't really like hunters. If it wasn't for hunters and fishermen, we wouldn't have any wildlife. The number one protectors are those that love the outdoors. And when you love something, you protect it. Don't you agree with that? You want it to succeed. You don't want to kill something, just to shoot something. It had not that at all. But you do want to have a fellowship with all that God's made. The cattle on 1,000 hills, the hills they graze on, certainly your family, certainly your mate. My wife learned to shoot. She decided, if I'm going to get to go on any of these safaris, I got to learn how to shoot. So I taught her how to shoot. She killed a bigger leopard than I did. So I thought about it. I'm not taking her no more. Not really. But we made several safaris together. She killed one of the three biggest leopards that a lady hunter has killed in Africa in the last trophy book. But there was something above it all. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Don't you like that one? Leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. I like that part. Surely goodness and mercy is going to follow us all the days of our life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Every one of us tonight needs to be in prayer for our country. Senior adults, here's a one-liner that I think about every day as a senior adult. Here's a question. What would you have today? What would it be if the only thing you had today was what you thanked God for yesterday? When you pray tonight, dear God, don't let me get COVID today. Let me ask you a question. Did you thank God yesterday you didn't have COVID? You see where that goes? You see, it's easy for us to get selfish. God, I'll do anything. I'll stand on my head. I'll do anything if you'll do what I want you to do. But when the Lord says, no good thing will I withhold from you, I still pastor half of my senior class. I can tell you that I'm sure they looked at me, because I sure looked at a lot of them when I was in high school, and I said, thank God I didn't marry that one. I don't know why I didn't and why she said no when I asked her. Thank you, Jesus. And, of course, they were probably saying the same thing in one accord out there, but that's something else. But the point is, this is not about shooting and hooking. It is about being the children of God and rearing our families in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and coming together and worshiping and praising God from whom all blessings flow, and then look out to our world. I mean, it doesn't matter what political party you're at. That's not it. The answer is not the Democrats or the Republicans or the do-nothing. The answer is Jesus is coming again. And when you start doing what we've done to police officers, which the Bible says they are ministers of God for your good, and we say, well, let's get rid of them. The babies, let's kill them. And then let's go to church and say, bless you, God. Bless you, God. No, we better wake up. We better get real. When you go out into the woods, you see the real thing. And by the way, if you ever go to Africa, when you step off the plane the first time it gets dark, get them to show you the star that points the same direction so that the Africans can find their way home. If they can see the stars. Oh. Sing this. Don't sing it. Got too many men right up here that weren't in the group, the singers. Are you ready? Jesus loves me. Remember that one? Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. As I close for you tonight, time is getting away. But I'm going to ask you in just a moment to do something. I'm going to explain it to you before I ask you to do anything. But I want all of my hunters to know that God gives us real special advantage over the whole world in our hunting world. And let me tell you what it is. If you've ever been hunting with a rifle, with a scoped rifle, and you're... It may be a dangerous animal, it may be a trophy animal, but as you are out there hunting, the guide that you have, your tracker, or the man that is helping you to be your guide, and you spot the animal, and you're beginning to say, that's it, I'm going to take that animal, and you get ready. When you do, the last thing you see, you look down your scope. What is right in the middle of that scope? The cross. What does the guide say? Listen, put the crosshairs on him and squeeze the trigger. If your gun is shooting straight, you can get out your pocket knife. You get the cross in the right place in your life today, tonight. I promise you. If you get the cross in the right place, you'll go home one time to be with the Lord and hear the well done, my good and faithful servant. You came to that point that you were not going to be strong and afraid somebody's going to tease you because you became a sissy Christian. Christians are the bravest people in the world. They're giving their life by the thousands tonight, all over the world, because they love Jesus. And tonight, I'm going to ask you to do something. This is what we did in Las Vegas. Holly North was by my side when I did this. And when I did it and got through and the press came up to interview him, he asked them to stand back. And Holly said, preacher, could you let me do what you just had us do? I said, sure. This is what we're going to do right now. In just a moment, I want you to take the card that's somewhere around. Aren't they on the table? You got them? Oh, that's in the bag? Okay, here's what I want you to do real quickly. Just take those out. There should be a card for everybody. And once you get it open, just sign it, because you're going to be in a draw here in a little bit, and you're going to have some prizes given away. So just get it there and put your name on it. And kids, y'all can fill out one too now. You don't have to be 100 years old. Now, once you get it, just turn it upside down and hold it for a moment until we think everybody's had a chance to fill it out. Somebody be the head of your table, and if everybody's filled it out, just raise a hand. We'll know your table's ready to go to this final step, okay? Good. We're moving along good. Everybody? It's probably going to come up in the draw, isn't it, in a minute, the same card? So you're going to be using that in a minute after I get through what I want you to do with it. And there's some nice stuff waiting on you. Is anybody not finished? Are we ready? All right, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'm going to pray it out loud. If you want to pray with me, you pray silently where you are. And I'm going to lead you in a very simple prayer. It'll go like this. Dear God, have mercy on me, a sinner, and save me. That's it. Lord, have mercy on me and save me. Then, I'm going to ask you, if you prayed this prayer with me, I want you to put a crosshair right in the middle of that circle of your card. That what you're saying is, I tonight prayed and asked Jesus to come into my heart, and I'm claiming him. You're not joining a church. You're not joining a religion. But you are doing exactly what this book says. You are saying, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. He was born a virgin. He's coming again. And his heaven, the lion and the lamb, is going to lay down together. And I'm going to be there. Not because of what I have done, but because of what he did when he died on the cross. So you understand what I'm saying? Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, you can whisper the prayer, breathe the prayer. God even knows what you're thinking. I want you to follow me as I say these words. Dear God, have mercy on me, a sinner, and save me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to put the crosshair. Okay? Now, if you don't, I got one final story. This happened when a man called me from Alabama. That was at a banquet I did over there. He gives me a call on the phone, and he is in Alaska hunting grizzlies. He was at a banquet that I did about putting a cross in the crosshair. He called me. He said, "Preacher, help me, help me, help me." He said, "I was at that banquet you did," and it was about 6 months before. And he said, I didn't put that cross in there. And he said, I looked up through my gun, and that big grizzly bear stood up, and he said, "Dear God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And he said, "I was shaking all over." And then he said, "Dear God, have mercy on me, a sinner, and save me." He said, "I just took a deep breath and I shot him. I said, well, that's not everything that prayer's for. But he got kind of the point. God's got a sense of humor, folks, all right? And there's going to come a time when you're going to say, I need the Lord. Trust me, I'm 81 years old. Trust me, there's going to be a day come when you're going to need the Lord, and he's the only thing that can meet your need. All have sinned, all can be saved, but the cross paid for your sin. That's like signing the heavenly credit card and saying, put my name in the record book, the Lamb's Book of Life. And when we all get to heaven, what a joyful, glorious day that's going to be. Thank you so much. Oh, before I get down, I've got something for you that I just got them made. I've got four DVDs, and we were trying to show them, but it's too bright in here. But these are the disc. There's four things on there that through the years I have made, and I had them put on one disc. Number one show is Ahmed, the biggest elephant ever, back 45 years ago, filmed him in Kenya. His tusks were like almost 11 feet long. And there's rare photos of him. And I've got some of the movie. I don't have him. He would walk backwards going up the hill because his tusks were down there. But you'll see him having trouble. But that's on one of them. The second one, we were showing it here, but it'd be a far different when you get in a dark room or put it on your machine. But that's me bringing the similar message to this one. And the name of this one was How to Get Your Name in the Record Book. And we had 15,000 people there. We had some of the leaders in the whole city of Houston that came. And you'll see just dozens and dozens and dozens of animals. Joe Bowman, the sharpshooter, he is on that one. Then another one of a safari where I tracked this lion for 10 to 14 days, went almost 200 miles and jumped him. And you'll see the shot, and then us tracking this line, which will keep your attention. And so that is on the third one. And then the last one is a bird shoot in Botswana, where we also went fishing. And what we're doing, we're catching these fish like this, these like a bass that big. And there's several shots where the hunter picks that fish up and holds it up in the air like Statue of Liberty, and the eagles come out and take them, I mean right here, and take that fish and go up in the tree and eat it and kind of laugh at you. And I think there's four of those. But you'll see a lot of animals. The one on the lion hunt is a very great day in my life, and I think you'll enjoy it. They're $10. There's about 140 of them here, I think. But I just got them back. It took me a long time to get all this put together. And they're at the table out there when you get ready to leave. Okay.